like wish-fulfilling trees. I pray they may bestow mercy, thereby bringing my sadness to an end. I am a very sinful person, always absorbed in the affairs of material sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada has shown great mercy by forcefully pulling me out of this unfortunate situation. I'm simply a fool, being lowly and degraded, yet my Guru Maharaj has kindly sprinkled me with a shower of his divine compassion. Kripa Vari Sdila Se Sinchia, the compassion he has given us. Patita Pavana Prabhu Nityananda Gaura Vibhu Sri Advaita Kripa Paravara Sri Vasari Garadhara Kripa Kara Ekin Kara Bhuti Lama Tava Kripa Shara. O Supreme Lords, O Deliverers of the Fallen, O Omniscient Lords, Nityananda Gaura, Sri Advaita Prabhu, O Ocean of Mercy, O Gadadhar, O Devotees headed by Srivas, please show mercy to this servant. I've realized that your mercy is life's essence. This is just some poetry from Srila Prabhupada. Today, the entire world is filled with mundane people devoid of even a trace of devotion to Krishna. Instead, they are completely miserable in contact with material sense objects. Still, even these materialistic people are searching for peace of mind. Oh God, brothers, please fulfill their desire by preaching Krishna consciousness. Just reconcile your separate factions and unite. Come to the rescue of all these fallen souls by preaching Krishna consciousness. Please be merciful upon us today, Srila Prabhupada. Let us feel your affection. Whatever independence we may have, now may it be cast into the waters. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Chapter 5, Narada's teaching to Vasudeva. Text 6. 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraya Nasta Prayeshvabhadveshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Vaktir Vavati Naishtiki Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam Uttama Sloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishreyasaya Lokasya Dhanam Swastayanam Mahat Krishne Svadamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Dibisaha Klaunasta Darsham Mesha Paranarko Dunoritaha. The Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied with religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. They gave me this verse a couple months ago, but I never looked at it until last night. And you know, we've been getting these like 6-page purports. I got a paragraph. And it's about Sankirtan. It's not just about Sankirtan. It's about opposition to Sankirtan. I mean, it just couldn't be more perfect. I don't know if it's providence or if they said, oh, here's one for this nut. But anyway, it's perfect because yesterday out on Sankirtan, I had a little mini war. I was attacked by an army of born-again Christian young zealots. Unbelievable. They were teenagers, 20-year-old types, you know, young Latino. And they are armed with big bags of tracts, you know, those little 2-page Christian tracts. And they were going up to people and giving them to people. And it all started innocently enough. I met one of them alone And their thing is they walk up to you and they say, do you know Jesus loves you? Right? That's their mantra. And my mantra in this season is Merry Christmas. I walk to people with the prasadam and I go, Merry Christmas. And I hand them a lollipop. That's the mantra. So she said, I said, well, Merry Christmas. And I gave her the lollipop. And she said, you know Jesus loves you? I said, yeah. Can you give a donation? She gave me $5. So I gave her the perfection. I gave her the bhakti, eternal art of love, the art of eternal love, the bhakti yoga. But I gave her that. And, you know, I walked away. And about a half hour later, she had got her crew together. Her crew found her with the book, and there was trouble. So I was just distributing books to other people, and I saw them coming, you know, these. And I was like, oh, great. And I haven't really had one of these for a while. It usually doesn't happen like this in malls and places like this where I move around constantly. It doesn't usually manifest. If it happens, you run away, you know, you escape. But when we were in the airports, you were in one spot, and they knew where you were, and they could come, and they were allowed to be there too, so the born-agains could come and harass you all day long. And then, of course, you know, you have to be nice to them. It's like that verse, Mahatsevam, that 552. You got your verse book with you? Could you get that verse? There's a word in there. That's the one. And Vimanyava is the word I'm looking for, the way Prabhupada translated. Vimanyava means without anger. But he didn't just write without anger. He writes, I'll let him read it. He writes without anger. Oh, thank you. I have to have convicts next to you. This is 552. Mahatsevam dvaramahu tes tamo dvaram yoshita sanghi sangam. Mahantas te samachita prashanta. Vimanyava surida sarvo ye. A prophet says here, Vimanyava, without anger. And in parentheses, Prabhupada writes, one must distribute Krishna consciousness to persons who are hostile without becoming angry at them. And this is not an easy thing, especially if you're an Irish hockey player absorbed in the sense gratification world of lust and anger. And so when they approached, the first thing out of the woman's mouth, her boss, her whoever she was in charge, she saw my neck beat. And she went, oh, those neck beads, those are from India. Those are evil. I'm standing there, you know. I said, I'll have you know, my sister died and she gave me these neck beads. And I wear them to remind me of my sister. You got a problem with that? I don't know why I said it. It just came out of my id. I just had to say something. And she just, because, you know, you tell your sister died, they immediately, you know. So she backed off a little, but I ran away. And it's so huge. This place I was working is 500 yards across, you know, from TJ Maxx down to Marshall. So I run all the way down to the other side of the place, and I'm working. And about a half hour later, sure enough, they show up again. I was talking to these nice people, and they were handing me some money, and they both had a book in their hand. And they were, oh, yoga. And the other one was going, oh, Beatles. You know, they're really happy to get the books. Young people, maybe they were 25. And this creature comes running up and goes, don't take that book. And she had the book that she took from her friend, you know, that I had given her friend. And she said, this book is evil. It's against Jesus. And the people, I said, I'm so sorry. I don't know this lady. But wherever I go, she follows me around and she tells people this. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. And they kept their books and they were nice. And I went to the other place. I actually got in the car and I drove. I drove across maybe 3 miles away to a mall. And I got out there and started working. And I don't know how many of these people they had. They had an army of these kids. Because as soon as I got to the mall, there they were. Now, these were different ones, so they didn't know. They didn't know to come and harass me, you know. So I worked around them. But it was, anyway, it was one of those days, you know. You're just like, ugh. And, you know, you want to kill them, but, you know, you don't want to kill them because it's not our program. Lord Chaitanya, you know. We'd all be dead, right? If they would have just killed Jagai and Madai, then there wouldn't be any of this preaching or movement or anything that we need. So, you know, you just have to pray. Now, there's this nectar thing that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says. To develop your chit sarira, or your spiritual body, you need chit rakta. Now, chit rakta is spiritual blood. Apparently, you need chit rakta to run the thing. You need spiritual blood to run the chit sarira, the spiritual body. Now, where do you get the chit rakta? Any guesses? You get it from preaching. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, I wrote this down because I wanted to get it right. Bhakti Siddhanta said, we'll get to the verse here in a second. Trust me, this is worth hearing. Vaish told me this about a month ago, and I finally looked it up. Anyway, to develop your spiritual body, one needs chit rakta, or spiritual blood. Preaching develops your spiritual body. By rejection, misunderstanding, by the devotee who continues to speak about Krishna in spite of being misunderstood, neglected, and opposed. You think I was misunderstood, neglected, and opposed? I was opposed. I was neglected. I was abused. And he says that devotee who does that, he becomes infused with spiritual blood, chit rakta. So I texted Vaish. I said, I'm drowning in chit rakta. I just got infused, you know. It didn't really change my consciousness. I still was mad. But you can't be, if you want to continue in this line, you can't. I mean, you know, you could kill somebody, but then you'd be done. You know, your sankirtan would be over. So you have to be humble, you know. It's hard, but you have to. And like I said, it's been a while since I actually was attacked like that. It was a hard day. I ended up doing okay. I probably distributed 150 books, and I've met a lot of sweet people in between. This other guy came up right in the middle of this whole thing. You know, he had long hair, big guy, looked like a hippie. But so I just handed him, he was moving real fast. I said, here's the Beatles. You know, most people that look like hippies, they like the Beatles. So I handed the book, and he goes, oh. And it says mantra meditation. He goes, what's this mantra? I said, oh, it's the Maha Mantra. Jesus wasn't into mantras. I said, oh, sure he was. He went to Jagannath Puri, he chanted Hare Krishna. You know, the guy was like, show me it in the Bible. And I said, you know, there's other books besides the Bible. You know, yeah, you can't talk to these people. Anyway. Okay, text 7. By the prominence of the Mode of Passion. Rajasa Gaura Sankalpaha. Kamuka Ahimanyavaha. Dambika manina papa. Vihasanya chuta priyam. Rajasa gora sankalpaha. Kamuka ahimanyavaha. Dambika manina papa. Vihasanya chuta priyan. Rajasa gora sankalpaha. By the prominence and the mode of passion.
By the prominence and the mode of passion.
Oh, sorry. Gaura Sankalpaha. Having horrible desires. Kamukaha. Lusty. Ahimanyavaha. Their anger like that of a snake. Dambikaha. Deceitful. Maninaha. Overly proud. Papaha. Sinful. Mahasanti. They make fun. Achyuta Priyan. Of those who are dear to the infallible Supreme Lord. Due to the influence of the mode of passion, the materialistic followers of the Vedas become subject to violent desires and are excessively lusty. Their anger is like that of a snake. Deceitful, overly proud, and sinful in their behavior, they mock the devotees who are dear to Lord Vichitta. Sounds like a description of my mentality. Due to passion, or subject to violent, lusty desires, or deceitful and angry. How apropos. Purport. Gaura Sankalpa refers to ghastly desires, such as thinking, he is my enemy, let him die. So that was another thing yesterday. When I first met that first lady and she bought the book, she said, I'm Mary, what's your name? I said, I'm Daniel. She said, oh, Daniel in the lion's den. What a beautiful Christian name. So at one point, when I was being chased by this other lunatic, she was going, Daniel, Daniel, Jesus loves you. Daniel. And I was like, what did I tell him my name? They're chasing me around. Ooh. Oh, I'm looking forward to today. Today's going to be a fresh day. You know, I'm going to come up here again and I'll be manyava. Don't get angry no matter what they do or say. Anyway, he is my enemy. Let him die. Due to the mode of passion, waves of lust overcome the conditioned soul. I know about that. I've felt like that before. Like waves of lust overcame me. You know, and it's like you didn't have a chance. You're drowned like a tsunami and it's like, shh. What was that? Oh, that was lust. Due to the mode of passion, waves of lust overcome the conditioned soul, who then becomes furious like a snake. Such a person filled with pride and arrogance cannot appreciate the humble efforts of the Lord's devotees to distribute Krishna consciousness. He thinks, these beggars worship Lord Vishnu to fill their bellies, but they will never be happy. What a mood. Who thinks like this? Non-devotees. People that don't have any clue about spiritual life. I mean, even if I was out there and somebody was doing what I was doing and I didn't want a Bhagavad Gita or something, who cares? And if they're selling Gitas out here at Walmart, I don't care. Why would somebody do that? Such false ego, such weird. The waves of lust came over them and they became angry like snakes. And then they'd come up to you and say, you worship Lord Vishnu to fill your belly. I didn't have that in my mind at all. I was thinking, I'm on my service duty out here. I have to distribute books. That's my job. I've been doing this my whole life. I wasn't thinking anything else. And I was thinking, how can I help each person I meet? When I meet people that don't want to talk to me, I give them the holy name. Because Lord Krishna is very merciful, but his name, Nam Prabhu, is even more merciful than the Lord himself because he's so accessible. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. She comes to us in so many different names, and there's no hard and fast rules. So when I go to somebody and say, here, Merry Christmas, they go, get out of here, or whatever. I say, hey, Jai Nitai, Haribo, Merry Christmas. So in their soul, they might not have heard it, but their soul hears Nitai, or whatever I tell them, Hare Krishna, Haribo, or something. Such a materialistic rascal cannot appreciate the transcendental status of the devotees of the Lord, who are personally protected and encouraged by the Lord himself, first known of God. Sarva Vaishnavara Pai Kori Namaskar, Ite Aparada Kichu Nahu Kama. I offer my obeisances unto all Vaishnav devotees so that I don't offend any of them. Srila Prabhupada says, life is short and it is disturbed by disease and lamentation. It's like Woody Allen said, life is not perfect, plus it is short. Because we come here encaged in the material body, which is temporary. An anartha is what it's called. Prabhupada says, anartha means something that has been artificially imposed upon us, like the body. Anartha literally means not necessary. So the blissful, eternal, cognizant soul, because he was a rascal, gets stuck in a conditioned body, which is full of pain and suffering, and it's temporary. Even if you're healthy, even if you have all facility, the thing still ends right in the middle of it. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. You can be having a great time in life, and then, you know, you get hit by a bus, and it changes everything. People go on living this day, moment to moment, in the modern material world. They have no... in fact, people, they don't even want to think about the future. It's difficult. It's scary that they might have to project out and see what's going to happen in the future. So most people just live minute to minute, really. They're living day to day. And they're going from one sense gratification scenario to the other. And pretty much all you can do in that situation is go through it. Everyone knows that everyone wants to be happy. Like Prabhupada said, even the materialists are looking for peace of mind. And I tell them this, every single person I meet, when I give them the book, they say, what is it? What's it about? And I say, this book talks about how to get peace of mind. And I say, the secret is, these books say that it comes from within. We have it, and we're missing it. Because we want peace, we want happiness, we want to enjoy. Like, everybody wants to be comfortable. I know myself, I've been on a pursuit my entire life to try to be comfortable, which is practically impossible to do, but it's something that you have to endeavor at, otherwise you suffer even more. It seems like that to me anyway, that you make arrangements in your life so that things may be easier for you. Now, the problem is that if you're not connected with spiritual, then no matter what arrangements you make, and I've seen so many people make so many arrangements, and they usually don't work out. In fact, usually there's disaster involved. So it's for a devotee, he wants to reawaken his Krishna consciousness, develop his love for Krishna, which is there dormant in each one of us. So he tries to make his life simple, and he tries to do what he's supposed to do. Now, I was talking to a devotee a couple days ago in Govindas, and he came up and hugged me and said, Divyanga, you're still doing Sankirtan. I can't believe it. How is it that you do this and you've never blew? And I said, are you kidding? I've blooped a million times. I bloop every day, hell, hourly, pretty much all the time. You know, I wake up in the morning and I have this thing. I wake up and I go, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then I offer obeisances to Bhumi before I put my feet down. And then, you know, Yasya Devi Parabhakti. And then, you know, a few prayers that we say upon awakening. But it's like, I was gone all night. Those last 6 hours, I was partying my brains out. And then when I wake up, you know, I'm like, oh, that's right. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then we have to start over again. That's why it's like we heard yesterday in class. If you don't want to be stricken by pride, then chant Hare Krishna incessantly. Nityam Bhagavata Seva. You're supposed to do it all the time. The Prabhupada said you should at least do it daily. So daily, we get up and we start over again. And I was just listening last night, Prabhupada was saying, my spirit, he said, never trust the mind. There's this famous lecture from 76 in Vrindavan, and it's called Never Trust Your Mind. And he said, therefore, my spiritual master said, upon awakening in the morning, beat the mind 100 times with shoes, and then upon going to bed at night, beat the mind 100 times with broomstick. And never let the mind be free. I mean, you have to trump your mind with your intelligence. And if you're going through life letting your mind call the shots and your intelligence is sitting there going, hey, I don't know about this, you have to change that. It's not going to help you. You're going down the wrong road if your mind is calling the shots. And we have this hierarchy, and intelligence, which comes from Krishna, can be used to save us. And if we don't use it to save us, then the mind will figure out another thing to do with your intelligence, And you'll end up doing all kinds of whacked out stuff. Sorry about that. Sure. Go to class every couple of months and then call me, darn it. Seriously. But I need this because I wanted to share something out of it. Never trust the mind. The mind will think of something. I want to get this right. I could say it because I heard it a few times, but I like the way Prabhupada said it. Prabhupada said, leniency is a dangerous thing. A little leniency and immediately so many faults grow. I love this. This is late 76. This is less than a year before Prabhupada left. And I remember this because Tripurari came back from this and he called us in. We had this little room in Chicago Temple, the BBT room, and he said, yes, Prabhupada's very sick, maybe leaving his body. You know what he told us. And then he told us what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, faulty things are creeping in. Practically, we are known all over the world as shaven-headed, is it not? But now I look around and I see we are not shaving. We are not known as the long-haired. We are not known as hair-headed. We are known as shaven-headed. So when we asked Tripurari said, you think he was going to give us some last-minute intimate instructions? And he looked at us and said, why don't you shave? Such. I mean, Prabhupada spoon-fed us Krishna praying, and we're so unfortunate. Durdaivam. So Prabhupada goes on to say, he was talking about discipline and how he quotes Chanakya, if you pat your son or your disciple, you'll spoil him. So you should always chastise. And he said, but once you're 16, once the boy is 16, you can't chastise or it may break. The relationship will break. So Prabhupada says, at least once a month, you must be cleanly shaven. The bright fortnight on the day of Purnima, 4 days after Ekadasi, once in a month, we must be shaved. It is not desirable that the grown-up ages you should be chastised. That is not desirable. That is very difficult because you are young and I am old. So, before being chastised, we should be conscious that this is our rules and regulations we must observe. Now, this is the part that made me cry. Prabhupada said, keep your head cleansed nicely. I am not chastising. My request is that with folded hands, I request you, please don't become hippies again. Please don't become hippies again. Prabhupada was worried, and man, he was right. Neither I can chastise you, because I am old man and you are young man, but with folded hands. So, the next time you're thinking you're all pukka and spiritual, you can think, Prabhupada, what have I done for you recently? What can I do for you today? Can I chant? Can I read? Can I participate in some service? Because basically, that's all you have to do. That famous verse says, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience. It's an insurmountable ocean. But I shall cross over it by being firmly fixed in service the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is what we do. We find some service we can do. And Prabhupada said it doesn't have to be something you can't do. Find something that you are good at and you can do. Just like my friend Sukriti, when he was, this is ages ago, back in 70 in Detroit. And he said he really didn't like the ashram life, you know, and he wanted to just keep a job. And the temple president said, oh no, that's Maya, you can't do that. And then Prabhupada came. So he went in and he asked Prabhupada about it. And Prabhupada said, sure. You can have a job, it doesn't matter. Do whatever you can do. Whatever you do, do it and offer the results to Krishna. And in this way, stay engaged. And every morning when you get up, participate in spiritual life. Every night before you go to bed, participate in spiritual life. Do some hearing. Sometime in your life, you have to start reading these books. If you don't read these books, I mean, you can get a scholarship. You can get blessed. You know, Lord Chaitanya could just save you just because he wants to. Or just because he just saved the entire universe because it's the golden Kali Yuga. But that's not what we've been told. Prabhupada told us that we should read these books. And we should read them so much that we know them and we can remember them. He also said that if you don't know these books and somebody asks you questions on Sankirtan, you won't be able to answer them. But more than that, just for ourselves to know every day when we come, when we wake up from that black, whatever it is, I don't know what you guys do when you're sleeping, but I have all kinds of things that I do when I'm sleeping. When I wake up, I have to bring myself back to reality, to spiritual life. But it's not that difficult if you do it all the time. So you have to participate. Prabhupada said that everyone can become Krishna conscious, but they have to want to. So you have to participate in it, and you have to want to do it. The only thing that stops us is our offenses and our, you know, we have desires like these. What do they say? Horrible, ghastly desires. The only way to get over them is to replace them with Krishna Seva. And if you hear enough, if we constantly hear and chant, you have a chance to stay engaged in spiritual consciousness, and you don't have to fall prey to all those things, lust, greed, envy, all the things that are torturing every living entity in the material world because of ahankar. The whole problem comes is because we misidentify. Can you put a verse up for me? It's 11:2:55. It states the mercy of Krishna on anyone who will chant his holy name. Oh, I'll tell you this story. Up in Toronto, Vaisheshika Prabhu, and he had a crew of Harinam Party and maybe 10 book distributors on the street, and they were doing Sankirtan, and a boy stopped, and he loved the Bhagavad Gita, and he was very receptive, but he said, "I don't have any money." And Vaish said, "Are you going to read the book?" And he said, "Yeah, I really like it. I'm really interested. I'll read it." And Vaish noticed he had a Bic lighter in his pocket. And the guy's like, "I don't have anything." And Vaish says, "Well, you got that." So the guy hands him his Bic lighter. But as he was handing it to him, he was like, "I don't know. This might not be such a good idea." And Vaish took the lighter and he said, "What are you talking about? It's a great idea." And he said, "I might need it." And Vaish said, "You don't need it." He goes, "How about this? I'm going to take this back to the temple and we're going to use it to light incense and offer it to Krishna. What do you think of that?" And the guy said, "Well, okay." So he agreed. And Vaish made the point that how kind Lord Chaitanya is that he gave him the perfectly good Bhagavad Gita, and then when he didn't have an offering of money to give, he accepted a Bic lighter, which in itself is it's pretty much useless. I mean, you can use it to take it to the temple and light incense and offer it to the deity. But that Bic was purchased for sinful activity. And Vaish made the point, Lord Chaitanya is so kind, he didn't look at that. He said, "That guy just gave that." So the guy gave his lighter. Of course, now he's going to have to get another lighter if he wants another smoke. But that's, anyways, a funny story after this. And then Vaish said, "So we're going to go all around the world and distribute books and collect up all the Bic lighters on the planet." So that kind of got around in his crew. So a couple of weeks ago when the collections were coming in, there were hundreds and hundreds of Bic lighters. Because you know how people are. You know how excited and enthusiastic young devotees can get. It's like when Radhanath Maharaj said, "I like cookies." You know, the next day there was 40 different kinds of cookies there. And we were laughing, going, "Yeah, cookies are great, but I mean, this is ridiculous." But anyway, so this is going on. And Vaish made this, I love this thing he said. He said, "So we invite you to come sing and dance with us. Join with us. And leave with a song in your heart and a book in your hand. And leave everything else with us." So this is the meditation out there, that there's all these jivas running to hell. Prabhupada said, this is in this modern civilization, no one is thinking of God or Krishna. Geez, the ones that are talking about God are scarier than the full-out atheists that are just partying. I'd rather meet a bunch of drunk bikers and some born-again psycho, you know, it's unbelievable. Militant Christians. But these things are going on. The thing is, if that never happened, you know, and we were just out there preaching and everybody was liking it, it would really be different. It'd be a whole different scene, this preaching. Did you get my verse up there? This verse, you read this verse and it just makes you think, well, everything's okay. It says here, "The Supreme Personality of God, it is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon Him by speaking His holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord's inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions. The word is agauga, nasha, destroys heaps of sins. Therefore, when the devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name with genuine love, the Supreme Lord can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus captured the Lord within his heart is to be known as Bhagavat Pradhan, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Now, this statement here, that even unintentionally or unwillingly, is really an Udipad. Amazing, because, I mean, you know, I get up in the morning and I force myself to chant japa. It's really, it's one of the hardest things that I ever do, japa. It's just hard. But I pray, and I've been doing it, and I feel really lucky to be able to do it. But when I read this, I just think, you know, I'm chanting. I want the Lord to take these heaps of sin out of my heart. Imagine what it would be like if you didn't have these nasty desires. Every single day you could just cruise. You know, just be flying around. You're looking at people with spirit souls, you know, and thinking of opportunities to serve Krishna and how to stay engaged in Krishna consciousness. And the whole idea is to come out of this thing thinking of Krishna. You're supposed to remember Krishna. That's what it's all about. Anything else, whatever gets you there, doesn't really matter. As long as you get to Krishna consciousness. I was really fortunate. We went down to the Rath Yatra in New Orleans, and which was wonderful. It was a long parade route, really long, but I distributed books the whole time, and there was no opposition. You know, usually at our Rath Yatras, there's somebody with a giant cross, and there's people hitting people with Bibles, and there's a whole thing. Nothing. New Orleans is so, what's the word? Loose. There's no rules, you know. Nothing surprises anybody in New Orleans. And the last thing you're going to see is some Christian come down and saying, you're going to burn for this. And I met people on the side of that parade route that just asked me questions about who Lord Jagannath was and what are we doing. And the devotees were giving out oranges and cookies, and it was wonderful. But after that, we went up to New Taliban for a program, and we were sitting there waiting for prasadam, and there was only a handful of disciples there. And the president came up to me and my friend Tranakarta, and said, hey, would you like to go and take prasadam with Bhakti Charuswami? I said, well, sure. So we got to go in with Bhakti Charumaraj. He was just getting over a cold, so he wasn't really eating. But we sat in there with him, and I was here, he was there, and my friend Tranakarta was there. And Tranakarta said, please, Maharaj, tell us about Rishikesh. It's a long story, but I'll give you a little nutshell of it. This devotee, Bhakti Charuswami, is a saint. He came and joined in 76. And when he joined, Prabhupada gave him first and second, boom. And then Prabhupada made him his secretary, and then Prabhupada said, I want you to translate my books into Bengali. So that's the first thing he did, was start translating the Bhagavad Gita into Bengali. And when he got there, as it was by 76, it's hard to just get to see Prabhupada or get to darshan. And he said it took him a long time to actually get in there. And you know how people can be. I know I tried to get on morning walks and get into darshans, and they, you know, brahmachari, get out of here. You know, it was like that. So here's a new devotee just joined, plus he's Indian. And, you know, you're surrounded by Tamal and all those other guys. And he couldn't get in. So one day, and he had gone to devotees and begged for mercy, he wanted to meet Prabhupada, he wanted initiation, he'd been looking for a spiritual master. And finally, Bhavananda caught him one day and said, you know, Prabhupada's alone, you can go in there now. And he told me when he walked in the door, the first thing he saw when he first saw Prabhupada, Prabhupada's sitting there with a pile of cash, counting money. And he went like this. He said, it was a pile of cash. And Maharaj said, my mind thought, sadhus, they don't usually have money. He went, Hare Krishna. And he threw that thought out. And Prabhupada finished counting this stack of cash. And he put it in this little box there. And then he looked at him and he said, so what do you want? And Bhakti Charya said, I want initiation. And Ravi said, fine, we're doing initiations in 2 days, no problem. Just like that, you know, boom. So he gives him first and second. It was Gaur Purnima. He gives him first and second. And then he tells him he wants him to be his secretary for India. And then he tells him, your main duty will be to produce the books in Bengali. So he went from Bhakta, nobody, to all of a sudden, it was like he was sent there. He's not ordinary. He's a saint. He's so sweet. Anyway, Then they wanted to, Prabhupada wanted to give him sannyas. There's another funny story, because all the sannyasis freaked out and said, he's new. He just got it. What do you mean sannyas? Prabhupada, you know, never second guess your spiritual master. Spiritual master says, I'm going to give him sannyas. And you go, no, Prabhupada. You don't know. This guy just joined. We don't know this guy, right? Prabhupada just gave him first and second. Another funny thing. There was a whole bunch of funny stuff. But one funny, hilarious thing is he asked him to cook. And he said, sure. And then he thought, actually, I don't know how to cook. He said when he was in Germany, he left India and went to school in Germany. And he said he had to cook a little, but he wasn't any good at it. And he said, I surely wasn't expert. And I figured you have to be expert to cook for the spiritual master. So he goes to Pishima and he tells the story. And she goes, oh, come in the kitchen. I'll teach you how to cook. And he said she wouldn't let him touch anything. So he watched very humbly, and then at the end, this beautiful plate, and she says, no, you can do this. Take it in. So he comes in with the plate, he smiles, beautiful plate, he puts it down. He said, Prabhupada took one bite, and he looked at him with this look. Who cooked? And he said, oh, Pishima cooked, Prabhupada. And he said, did I tell you to cook, or did I tell Pishima to cook? He said he wouldn't eat it. So he gives him back the plate, and he's freaking out because he's like, oh my God, you know, I had a chance to cook for Prabhupada, and I blew it. So, and he said he was angry. He was mad at him for a while about that. Another thing, this is another hilarious thing. Prabhupada asked for utma. So he made some utma, but it was just, he gave it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, what is this? And he said, Prabhupada, you asked for utma. And he said, I asked for utma. I have salty halva. That's what he called it. So Prabhupada said, here's how you make utma. And he showed him how to make utma. It's very detailed how he did it. It's really nice. I never made it that way, but I'm gonna. So I listened to that. So one day Prabhupada asked for the utma. And there's a lot of ghee and a lot of chilies. And Bhakti Charu thought, you know, his stomach's bad. He's really sick. I can't give him that many chilies. So he made it sans the chili. He brings it in. Prabhupada took one bite. And Prabhupada said, I personally told you how to cook this and you forgot. I personally told you how to cook this and you forgot. He said it three times. And he said he was just, couldn't say anything, you know. He was just freaked out. He didn't explain to him. And then he said for the next 2 days, that was his mantra. Every time devotees were there or not, he would say, I personally taught him how to cook it and he forgot. I personally taught him how to cook it and he forgot. So he said 3 days later, he couldn't stand it anymore. And he said, actually, Prabhupada, I purposely left out the chilies because I thought your stomach. And Prabhupada said, well, why didn't you tell me? And he said, but now that you've told me, let me tell you. Whenever you use this much ghee, you must use this much chilies. He said, if you don't have the chilies and you just have the ghee, it'll make you sick. Anyway, another thing, and this is the Rishikesh part, because, you know, everybody knew. What happened is that Prabhupada was really, really sick, and he said to Bhakti Charu, do you know where this place is? And he said, no, it was in Vrindavan. He said, no, but I'll find it. He said, go there's a Kaviraj, go get him. So he went and he found this Kaviraj, brought him back. The Kaviraj saw Prabhupada and said, you know what you should do? Go to Rishikesh. And Prabhupada said, I've never been to Rishikesh, but sounds good, so let's go. So it was Trivikram went and arranged a place, and then there was Prabhupada and Tamal and Yadubar and Bhakti Charu. And there was a couple other devotees. Anyway, so they get there, and they had only been there a little while, you know. They were doing programs. Prabhupada was preaching, and he was cooking. And one night at 1 a.m, he rang the bell, and he went up, and Prabhupada said, we have to pack. We're going back to Vrindavan. I'm going to leave my body. That's what he told him. And Bhakti Charu Swami just started trembling and crying and freaking out. And he ran down to get Tamal. And he wakes up Tamal and he goes, you got to hear this. You know, so he takes Tamal. And then Prabhupada said the same thing to Tamal. He said, we're going back to Vrindavan. Pack up. I'm going to leave my body in Vrindavan. So, of course, they freak. And then they go back to Vrindavan. The next day they packed up, and the next day they went back to Vrindavan. They got to Vrindavan, all the devotees were happy. Jai, Prabhupada's back. And then Prabhupada told them, I've come back here to leave my body. And then everybody freaked out. Anyway, the Kaviraj gave him some medicine and Prabhupada started to feel a little better. And as soon as he said, Bhakti Charu said, as soon as he got a little bit of strength, Prabhupada said, let's go preach. And he wanted, that's when he wanted to go. He had a whole tour lined up. He wanted to go to England, he wanted to go to Gitanagari, and he was going to end up in Hawaii. That was the deal. Bhakti Charu couldn't believe it because he was so weak and he was so sick, and now he's going to fly? And they couldn't stop him. They tried, they couldn't. Anyway, so Maharaj didn't have his passport in order. So Prabhupada said, get your passport in order, I'll see you in Hawaii. And that's what happened. He went to England and he got so sick in England, then he went back to Vrindavan. Anyway. But I tell you, sitting in there and listening to Maharaj tell that story, it was one of the most amazing things I'd ever heard. And I just can't say how sweet Bhakti Charu Swami is. He's an amazing devotee. And he was very kind to share that with us and to tell us that nectar that you could never know unless you would have been there. Anyway, anybody got anything? This was just at Rath Yatra a few weeks ago down in New Orleans. It was just one of those things where they said, hey, you're a disciple, you want to go eat with Maharaj, and why? I mean, I've heard him give class, and I don't really know him, but oh, I was so glad I got to hang out with him. It was amazing. Yeah, I mean, listen to the way he told the story. We were there, we were in tears. It was amazing. Anyway, Prabhu, Adiraj. Adi Dave, sorry. Welcome.
Your experience at the mall reminded me of we used to go on door to door book distribution in Dallas, Texas. And we would be followed, we'd be shadowed by some zealot Christian who, as soon as the door would open, would scream at the person, this is a demon. He's from.
He hates Jesus.
Yeah. And it went on and on. I had a policeman shadowing the Christian. And, we're up there knocking on the. It's crazy. But, so.
It's never ending.
Oh, and also, there's another thing that was really good. My wife and I, for years, have gone up to Asheville and done a huge art fair with it. And I mean, talk about crazy. And they've got soap boxes and they're screaming and yelling. And then, it's a real perfect service, because everyone who has any kind of a deviant anything comes up and starts arguments with them. And it got so bad right in front of our group that the little ladies in a cafe behind us came out and offered us drinks and said, please, you're nice people. It's not really like this all the time. It's just, and the police can't, they won't do anything about it. And it's,
this has been going on forever. Bhavananda was complaining once we were having some trouble. And Prabhupada said, we've been getting these complaints since 500 years. When Srivasanga had his kirtans, the neighbors said, we're going to break your house and throw it in the Ganga. This is in Navadweep. Ragatmika. Oh, or Kesho.
I have to say something positive about the Christians.
No.
I was at the Puerto Rico airport, distributing books. And here comes this Christian man and his wife, and I think they have a little boy or girl. So I stopped him and I gave him the book. He asked about the books, I explained the books. He took the book. He took two books, actually, and he gave a nice donation. Miss Monika and his wife went, was going away. But when she didn't see him, she turned back and she looked at him. And then she came back, and so I was trying to listen now to what she's going to say. She said, why you took that book? Are you going to read that book? Yeah, I'm going to read this book. And then he told her that, honey, he was so nice, I just couldn't avoid giving him something. So I thought that was a very good thing.
That's because you're so irresistible. I don't have that. You know, they come and they want to kill me. They want to save me. They want to save me, but when I don't surrender, then they want to kill me. I mean, that's the thing. I tell them, I say, Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus was nice. This other guy, I gave him a lollipop, and he threw it. And I said, yeah. I've been doing this 50 years. You're going to throw my lollipop? You're going to have to come up with something worse than that, dude. You threw a lollipop. I don't care. So I went over and picked up the lollipop. I said, what else? He was standing there looking at me. I said, here, I'll give you a book on inner peace. I handed him because I don't want a book, and I'm not going to give you any money. I said, well, of course you're not. Merry Christmas. I mean, you're stuck with yourself, you guys. I mean, you know, it's Christmas time, and you're out there trying to kill people because they're spreading the love of God. I mean, this is, what's wrong with this picture? Ragatmika, you got something good?
Yeah, really good.
Something positive.
Definitely. This is an example of how a Vaishnava can just change the mood of the person they're with by being empowered and inspired directly by Guru and Gauranga.
Wow.
And I'm going to have Sukada take over and tell the story that she just told me this morning.
Die. Let's hear it.
Well, it's really the students. It's so exceptional going out with them. There's so many students now that everyone only gets to go out one time. And they're just dying to go out. You know, they just love Sankirtan. It's such a pleasure. So yesterday, we were going to go see Pangovind, and he's always very kind and welcoming and generous. So, but I thought, where are we going to go before that? I thought, well, we'll go to High Springs. I was halfway to High Springs, and I thought, what am I doing? I should be going I'm wasting time going in this direction, but I just went. And we got there, and one side of the street, Shamasundar, you know. So the first place is an Indian man who came to the temple, so he was really nice. And the second place is like city boys. So we went in, I always like to go in the back where all the workers are first, so we started our trips in back there. And he goes, well, I said, they want to sing you a song. He goes, no, you can't come in here. Get out, you know, you gotta go over there. And I'm like, it's not, I said, well, thank you so much for like being so concerned about our stage. He goes, yeah, get out. Get out. Yeah, it's not safe. It's not safe. And I said, again, I said, I really appreciate how you're protecting us. You know, that you're like so kind. So we went out. I said, just go along the other side. So I went around to the front and went in the office. We're kind of waiting. And all of a sudden, that man from the back comes in, gives the office lady $20, and gets a bunch of cakes. So...
See, it's you, Sukada.
No,
they couldn't resist you.
It isn't me. Definitely isn't me. And what was the word you used for developing your spiritual body? What was it?
Chit sarira and chit rakta. Your chit sarira is your spiritual body. Chit rakta is the blood that nourishes the spiritual body. Chit rakta.
And we could all feel that. And it's so wonderful going out with the students. You learn certain principles. You just demonstrated one of them that even a lot of people don't have money because they just use credit cards. They say, oh, I don't have any money. I'd really like one. And I said, when they say that, we always, even if they don't want a cake.
I give them to everybody.
You give them a book.
I give them to anybody.
Take a book. And as soon as you start doing that, then everything starts to flow.
Anybody gets near me, they get a book. When I'm out there, if I'm having a bad day, I think, do more books.
Yeah.
You know, because I get an anxiety because 20 people in a row said, get out of here, or they wouldn't give money, or, you know what I mean? And I go, that's it. And I go back to the car and I get some bigger books. I get hardbound books. And I go, I'm doing more books. And the next person, you know, gives you $20.
Yeah.
Like, I met this family. This is a positive thing. It's not all negative. It's not all battles out there. I probably will have to. I haven't yet. I don't want to. You got to pay the bank. It's a pain in the ass. I like cash. Anyway, this van pulls up. And I see this kid gets out. He's got spiked blue hair and pierced everything. And he's goth, you know, and he's... And I thought, well, this guy's probably cool. He'll take a book, right? So I go up and I hand him a book, and he just is happy about it. But the mother gets out of the car. The whole family's in the car. The mother gets out and goes, oh, nice yoga. She saw it was spiritual yoga. So I gave her Beatles and spiritual yoga, and then from inside the car, the mother was in there, the mother's mother. She looked like she was 90 in a wheelchair. Anyway, so they give me a few bucks and, you know, blah, blah, walk away. About 20 minutes later, I see the goth kid again, and he's calling me over. So I go over, wondering, you know, what happened, you know, did grandma not like the book? You never know, right? I don't know if they're going to be born again or if they're going to be hippies. Hell. So I walk back over there, and the old woman who they just got out of the car in her wheelchair calls me over, and she's holding the book, and she goes, I love these books. I'm so glad you're here doing this. Thank you so much. This is really important. And meanwhile, the old woman's daughter says, can I get another set of these? She's got the spiritual yoga, the bhakti, and perfection. Can I get another set of these if I give another donation? And I go, yeah, sure. So she's digging around trying to find some money, and I say, wait, and I go to my car, and I get them hardbound books because these people loved it. The guy right before that gave me 20 bucks and said, I'll never read this book. Give it to somebody else. So I gave him this pile of books. These people had all these books. They were so happy. And they only gave me maybe $7, $8. And the lady said, is that all right? We don't have any money. And I said, it's fine. The guy gave me $20, paid $12. But they loved it. I mean, and that's what you see out there. You know, you see a van full of people that just, they want more books. They want to give another donation to get more books. You know, and then you meet somebody that, you know, throws your lollipop. I'm not going to give any money. The dogs... The dogs will bark, but the caravan will go. Or as Sura would say, the elephants may bark, but us dogs are going to keep going on at Sankirtan. Now, this is something I want to leave you with, just for all you people out there who want to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says here, this is Prabhupada, so you can't really argue. All the devotees connected with this Krishna consciousness movement, that's everybody. Everybody, you hear me out there, you guys? All the devotees connected with the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books that have been translated. And he says, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, TLC, and all others. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat and sleep and fall down. So I have kids, and they're intelligent kids, and they read a lot. But they don't read spiritual books. They love Harry Potter and Game of Thrones and any other trash that somebody comes up with. And that's all right. Go ahead and read your books. But I always tell my kids, read a little spiritual too. You can read Harry Potter. Don't come back 20 years later wondering what happened to your kids because they were reading Harry Potter and Game of Thrones and all this other trash and wonder why they don't know the difference between Burfi and Sandesh. Honest to God, I was talking to a devotee. She's a second generation devotee, and I gave her some maha. She said, I don't know the differences between Burfi and Sandesh. I'm like, are you kidding me? Born a devotee. I mean, one of my favorite things is Burfi and Sandesh. How could you not know what it is? How far removed from Krishna consciousness are you? Well, have you ever read the Bhagavad Gita? No. Nietzsche asked me for it the other day. He's 23, 22. It was a few months ago. He said, you know, I've never read the Gita, Dad. So I gave him the Gita. So I saw him again a few months later. He's reading now. Sitting there on a shelf, you know, he's playing video games. There's the Gita. I just can't stress it enough. Lord Chaitanya taught all his followers, everyone must act for the benefit of all living beings. And for the devotee, this work is the storehouse of happiness. Presently and in the next life. So this is what Prabhupada has given us. It's a big responsibility. You have to go out and give Krishna to everybody. But we got a lot of little books and you can just hand them to people. You don't have to ask them for donations or you don't have to put up with their brainwashed religion thing or whatever the thing is. You just have to hand it to them. It's real easy. Put some in your car. Next time you get gas, next time you go to Publix, wherever you are, just go here. Merry Christmas. Here's a book on yoga. And once in a while, people go, no, no, thanks. But usually they go, oh, thank you. Because yoga's hot. It's a hot topic now. Everybody thinks it's good. They think that if you do yoga, then you can enjoy sense gratification better. Wait till they read spiritual yoga. You open up spiritual yoga and it's dogs and hogs. Don't be dogs and hogs. It's the first thing it says. Okay? Thanks for listening. Hare Krishna. Sarva Vaishnava Rupaya Kori Namaskar Ite Aparada Kichu Nau.